It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
Every time God comes to a man with his word, he brings his word so that he can move that man forward in the direction of his destiny. The destiny God has for you is beyond your widest imaginations. We're going to be looking at certain factors. I have tried to put those factors into three, such that it will be very easy for you to remember and apply. There are certain factors that will always produce changes whenever they are applied. Whenever a change is required, these three factors will always produce a change in any situation of life. We saw that when God is bringing deliverance to you, if he wants to cause some changes in your life, he wants to take you out of some difficulties in life, what he will do is to send his words to you. When God wants to produce a change in your life, he wants to carry you from where you are to another level. What he does is to send his words to you. Why would God send his words? Because his words has the ability to do whatever he says in his word. One of the examples we looked at last week was how God wanted to produce a child from a woman that has not known a man. That is, giving birth to a child without the agency of a man. A virgin giving birth to a child. When God was going to do that, all he needed to do was to send his words to a virgin called Mary in Bethlehem. When Mary received the word of God that was brought to her by an angel of God, she was asking, how shall these things be that I give birth to a child, seeing that I know no man? The angel said to him, Luke chapter 1 verse 37, he says, certain things might be impossible with men, but not with God. Your life may have been experiencing challenges, stagnation, setbacks, and it looks like there is no hope. You have tried all that you could to produce a change in life, to move forward in life, and it looks like it's not working. Everyone around you possibly have concluded these things won't happen anymore. And maybe even you yourself see it like, I think this is the way my life is designed to be. Because every effort to produce a change has not worked. You have even sought for help from people. And you go to your friends, your neighbors, co-workers, and you have told everybody what you're going through, and nobody seemed to have an answer. In fact, people tell you, forget about it. This one, there's no chance. There's no hope. When situations look impossible with men, The Bible says, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. They sent for Jesus just some distance away from Bethany. One day's journey away from Bethany to come and see his friend who was ill. Lazarus was ill, and this was a guy that Jesus loved dearly. Every time Jesus was ministering in Jerusalem and he didn't finish what he's doing in Jerusalem that night and he needed to stay the night and continue the following morning, Jesus would travel to Bethany where Lazarus and his two sisters were to go pass the night with his 12 disciples. Brothers and sisters, if you have a guest that shows up in your house unannounced without prayer notice, he shows up. You know, in those days, they didn't have GSM, no mobile phone. They didn't have any phone at all. So this guy shows up. He doesn't come alone. He brings 12 other men. This is not a small thing. So if the only food in the house was for three people, then the three of you have to go hungry for your guests to have anything to eat at all. So that was the house Jesus was going to every now and then. And now they bring information to him that Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick and is near dying. They have tried everything they could to resuscitate Lazarus. It wasn't working. All hope was gone. It looks like this guy was going to die. And so they sent for Jesus, your friend whom you love. They had to remind him that he loves this guy. Your friend whom thou lovest is sick and nigh to death. And Jesus said to those who came to tell him in the presence of his disciples, he says, this sickness is not unto death. In other words, this guy is not going to die. Relax, guys, relax. And after the messengers left, Jesus stayed where he was. Another 2 days. If I send for you, I need something quickly, and you stay where you are another 2 hours, I'll be wondering, did you deliver the message? Jesus stayed 2 days more. He wasn't doing a crusade. He was just with his disciples, just 2 days. And when the messengers got back to Bethany, they found out on their arrival that Lazarus, whom Jesus told them will not die, had died. They just heard the master said, this sickness is not unto death. And they were rejoicing coming back home. When they arrived home, they see people start the mourning already. What happened? They said, he's dead. What? He's dead. No, but the master said he's not going to die. He's dead. In fact, you guys should not have even worried to travel all that way. Because now, he's dead. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, Mary and Martha, one after the other, came to him and said, oh, master, you have come late. If you had come earlier, my brother would not have died. In other words, your delay have caused the death of my brother. I don't think that was a compliment. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. There is nothing ever in your life where you desire a change that it will be too late by the time God arrives. It is never too late with God. It's never too late. Jesus showed up and he said, where have you laid him? He's asking for where they laid a dead man. That situation may be a dead situation. They said, master, he is dead for 4 days. By now, he stinketh. In other words, there is no hope. His thinking is decaying already. That matter that appear to have been decaying in your life, brothers and sisters, listen to me. God is about to bring the kind of change that will bring that thing back to life. When all men lost hope, they were even trying to make the master to lose hope. He decayed already. By now, he stinketh. There is not one thing in your life that God cannot resurrect. They say, by now, he stinketh. Jesus said, show me where you have laid him. And they showed him the tomb. He said, roll the stone away. Master, by now he's thinking. I say, roll the stone away. Didn't I tell you, if you will only believe, you shall see the salvation of God? All you need to do is trust that God can do anything. Mary answered the angel. He says, be it unto me according to the word that I have received from you. When God's word comes to you, brothers and sisters, it produces a change in your life. I'm going to share with you the factor number one, principle number one for causing changes in any situation. Genesis chapter 1. From verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Some translations say the heavens and the earth. In verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was without form and it was void. And I explained before that that means that the earth was scattered, chaotic, formless, shapeless, disorganized. The earth was without form and it was void. To be void means it was useless, hopeless, good for nothing. The earth was without form and void. If that was all, it could have been good enough. But the Bible goes on to say, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. If you didn't have money yesterday and you wake up this morning and you have a job to go to, you have a hope of earning some money this week, it's okay. But when you wake up, there is no job anywhere to go. And you are not sure of where to get the meal for the day. And there is no hope that it's going to be different tomorrow. And from all indication, it looks like it's going to get worse. You got a pain somewhere in your body and you have contacted the doctor. They have prescribed everything they could. And you have applied everything they ask you to apply and it's not working. And the pain is increasing. You have tried all that you could to show love to this family member. And it looks like the love is not working. The person is rather moving farther away. You've tried all that you could. You buy some gifts. You present some gifts. You accepted all the faults. Okay, I'm the one who was wrong. Please. You have done all that you could, but nothing seemed to be working. God was faced with a situation that was very terrible, and the earth was without form and void. The earth is designed around man. And man is the center point of God's agenda, God's eternal agenda. So the earth is a very important place in God's universal plan. I'll give you just an insight into what the earth represents in God's plan. If two nations are at war, two states, let's pick examples. Maybe I shouldn't use names that we know. Or there are current nations on the earth because I don't want to pronounce war into them. Let's say Babylon and Syria of old. All right. I'll just illustrate without mentioning names. If two nations are at war, they don't carry the whole nation into war. They don't carry the whole nation into war. They send their armies. And the armies meet at the battlefield. That battlefield is a very important point where the future of each of these countries are going to be determined. So the earth is a determining place, a place of fulcrum. Whether the door is rolling this way or is rolling this way, is the earth that determines that place in the spirit realm. The earth is a physical realm, but it is used to demonstrate what is going to happen in the spirit realm. Now, it was that earth that was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Everywhere was dark and bleak, no hope for the future. God obviously needed a change because that was not the kind of earth God wanted. What will God do? Factor number one. The first principle for change. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is God Himself moving upon the face of the waters. Now, I've explained to you before that the Spirit of God is not a gas. The Spirit of God is not a smoke. The Spirit of God is not wind. The Spirit of God is a person. The Bible shows clearly that the Spirit of God, who is God himself, is a person. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What does that point to us? When you say something moved, so the picture we get from there is that there was time involved as the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. How much of time that was involved, we are not really sure. But there was time involved. So God was moving upon the face of the waters. He was moving upon the face of the waters. What was he doing on the face of the waters? As the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, something happened in the next verse. Verse 3. And God said. Jesus said something when he was teaching. He said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It is from what is in your mind that your mouth talks. What you say, the words of your mouth will locate who you are inside. If you are full of some good things, the words that will come out of your mouth will be some good things. So when God said, he was speaking from the abundance of his heart. So that gives us pointer number one. The factor for change is the meditations of your heart. What you meditate on will determine the change that you can cause to happen in your life. Proverbs said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, your life goes in the direction of your thoughts. So when God wants to change your life, the first thing he seeks to do is to change the thinking of your mind. If you have not read the book by the man of God, Pastor Chris, The Power of Your Mind, you need to read that book. So what God does is to change your mindset, what is in your mind. God changes what is in your mind. And listen, how does God change your mindset? He changes your mindset by giving you the right words that should be in your mind. Because God knows that there is power in your mind. He can't change your life if your mind is not cooperating with him. In Genesis chapter 32, there was this man called Jacob whose life was not making good progress. He made some progress, but it was not enough. Jacob was also faced with a situation at that point in time where he could even lose the little that he got. There was fear and panic in the life of Jacob at this time. God came to him, and when he met with God, he wrestled with God. And he was asking God, I want you to bless me. I want a change in my life. My life, the way it is, I don't like it. I want a change. I want a very strong, positive change in my life. After the wrestle went on, God asked him one thing. What is your name? Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. God said, what is your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. God said, Your mindset, the way you think, is very negative. Jacob means swindler. This guy's mind is always programmed to swindle. Very crafty. He took his elder brother's birthright as if that boy was sleeping. When it was time for his father to bless the eldest boy, he wore something on his body and appeared before his father, my elder brother. He said, the voice sounds like Jacob's voice. How come you say you are Esau? He said, don't worry about my voice. Just bless me. I'm Esau. But it sounds like Jacob. He said, leave the voice alone, daddy. And bless me. I'm Jacob. The dad says, okay, come close. Come closer to me. He went close. The dad touched his hand because Esau was very hairy. Jacob was very smooth. So when he touched him, he didn't know that Jacob has gone to put some hairy skin on his body. He touched him. The body is hairy. He said, what is this? But the voice, he says, daddy, leave the voice. Don't worry about the voice. My hand is Esau. Even me, I'm truly Esau. So just bless me. The dad said, all right, come and give me a kiss. He went close to daddy to kiss daddy. And daddy was trying to smell him because Esau is always in the bush with animals. He's always smelling with the smell of animals. So he said, come and give me a kiss. Come and give me a kiss. Oh, my son. Esau, my son. Come and give me a kiss. Then he went close to daddy to give daddy a kiss. Daddy smelled him. He didn't know that Jacob was wearing an animal skin. And so the smell of the animal came to him. He said, truly, this is Esau. I don't know what's deceiving my ears. I'm hearing like as though it's Jacob. It's Esau. Then he laid on the blessing on this guy. And he quickly ran away after collecting the blessing. Praise God. So all his life, Esau, Jacob, was a swindler. That was the mentality he carried. He thought he could never prosper unless he swindles. But that didn't lead him far. A lot of people who live in Australia, for example, think they will never survive. They will never prosper unless they work really hard. But that will not go very far. The kind of prosperity you need in your life will come from the blessings of God. When God blesses you, you can't finish that blessing in your lifetime. And what is happening in your life right now is that the word of God is coming into your life and is changing your mindset. It's moving, it's shifting your mindset. As your mindset keeps shifting, you will start to experience the changes you never thought was possible. The word of God, okay, there we go. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. God changed this guy's name. Why did he change his name? Because when you change a person's name, you are actually changing his nature and you are changing his destiny. You change his nature, you change his future. How? God released his word into his life. Once again, factor number one, the power of your mind. God moved upon the face of the waters. And as he was moving on the waters, he was meditating. He was thinking, what do I want to do with this earth? What do I want this earth to be like again? He was thinking. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Stop meditating on your problems. Stop meditating on the challenges. Stop thinking of how bad things have been. Stop thinking of who is doing you wrong, who is hurting you, who is disturbing your peace, who is disturbing your progress. Stop thinking on the negative things. In Philippians, Apostle Paul was writing, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants you to have the God kind of mind. In chapter 4, verse 8, he began to explain the kind of mind you should have. He said, there are certain things you should meditate on. Don't think on the wrong things. Philippians 4, 8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Apostle Paul was telling the Philippi church, Christians in Philippi, he says, this is the kind of things you should put your mind on. Brothers and sisters, when God began to speak in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, He didn't say, this darkness is too dark. No, that was not what God said. People speak the challenges in their life because that is what they are thinking in their mind. I don't know what is wrong with this woman. I don't know what is wrong with this boy. After all that I have said, I correct him. I said everything. I have given him everything he have asked for. I bought him an iPad. He's still on the street. I don't know what is wrong with this. He's using his mouth to declare that the boy is wrong. Because his mind is keep meditating how the boy is on the street. No, stop meditating on the wrong thing. That might be the way the situation is, but don't think that way. Instead, begin to meditate on how you want things to be. How you want things to be. Begin to see that boy, he's a domestic boy, he's a homeboy. Begin to see that girl, she's no longer a wayward girl. She's at home. She's behaving well, cooking in the kitchen, serving the dinner. You begin to meditate that way. Begin to see that guy, that your husband, who doesn't come home on time. Begin to see him as doing the things that he's supposed to be doing, coming home on time, doing his job. You begin to meditate the way you want. What you want to see, put your mind that way and meditate that way. Now, I want you to understand, meditation is not just thinking loudly. No, meditation is using the power of your mind to create things that were not there. This guy is wayward. That is what is there. But you use your mind to create this guy that is not wayward, that is homely. This person that you are involved with, maybe your wife, your husband, or your friend, or whatever, and is behaving and is spoiling the relationship, and you keep thinking it. No, stop thinking in that direction. I know that this guy will hit the rock with this relationship. Stop thinking that way. Instead, start seeing you and this guy walking towards the altar if you are planning to get married. You start thinking in that way. Start letting your dreams see yourself at the altar. Let your mind go in that way. And by the time your mind go in that way, your mouth start talking in that way. And when your mouth talk that way, your life start going that way. There are no more jobs in Australia. People are losing jobs. What are you talking? Start thinking the way you want things to be. Begin to declare, my next job is coming very soon. Do you know I'm going to start working by next? You stop looking at your account. It's very difficult to save in this kind of country. When you are trying to save money, another bill comes. The other day, I tried to just save money. I don't know how many I went to park my car in the wrong place and they sent me a bill of 200. So I don't understand these things. Stop thinking that way. Instead, stop seeing your account growing. Look at your bank account and say, I can see all the plenty of zeros after the one. When you cast your mind that way, you start seeing the changes, because your mind will cause your mouth to talk, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when your mouth speaks, your life starts going in the direction of what your mouth is saying. It is the mouth of go negative anymore. Your life is going to move in the positive direction because there is power in your mind. You are going to use that mind power to begin to imaginate in the right direction. You are going to begin to meditate in the right direction. You will use that mind and it will produce the right result for you. Go ahead and begin to thank God for giving you the kind of mind that He has.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at info@cesydney.org. That is info@cesydney.org. God bless you.